Hello, this is Emily Walker, and I'm your moderator this evening. I am here with State Senator Vincent Hughes, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Hughes or any of his guests tonight, please press star 3 at any time on your phone. Now we're going to turn over to Senator Hughes.
Hey, Emily, thank you very much, and thanks to everybody for jumping on tonight's call and participating in this important conversation. I'm State Senator Vincent Hughes, and holding this live telephone town hall where we'll be discussing a number of things in education, but most importantly, the superintendent vacancy in the Philadelphia School District and what you want and what you are looking for in that selection process. And also any concerns that you want to see addressed that currently exist within our public schools here in Philadelphia. This has been an eventful time period, as many of you are aware, that in Harrisburg there is a Commonwealth Court legal action going on around the whole issue of funding and fair and adequate funding in public education. It is landmark, and we're asking everyone to pay attention to that. But in addition to that, as I said just a minute ago, the selection process of the new superintendent for the Philadelphia School District is upon us. And again, we want to make sure that there's significant public input to make sure that folks in the community, folks in the neighborhood, folks who have their children or grandchildren or nieces and nephews are going to attending Philadelphia schools, that their voices are heard, which is why we're hosting this. And we're doing this in partnership with the Philadelphia Community Stakeholders, PCS, as we call them for short. They are friends, folks who are active in all aspects of the Philadelphia community, especially in the education of our children. Right now, I'm going to introduce Sandra Dungey-Glenn, who many of you are familiar with Sandra's great work in education over the years. And she is the education chair of the, and member of the executive committee of the Philadelphia Community Stakeholders. We're also joined with Dawn Chavu, Ann Cooley, and Cassandra Jones. Tonight, we'll discuss the future vision of the Philadelphia School District, so our children can receive the quality education they deserve. The format will allow you to listen in, offer comments and recommendations from the comfort of your home. If you'd like to comment at any time, press star 3 on your phone. Again, press star 3 on your phone if you'd like to offer up any comments. Right now, we're going to have a couple of minutes comments from Sandra Dungey-Glenn, our education chair of the Philadelphia Community Stakeholders. Sandra?
Senator, good evening. And first, let me say thank you to you for hosting this town hall and for partnering with us. I'm going to give a little bit of background about this community stakeholders and why we're here tonight. The Philadelphia Community Stakeholders, as you said, PCS for short, is a group of African-American elected officials, community, and business leaders from across the city. The purpose and work of the group is to advocate for and to bring solutions to the issues that affect us in the African-American community. For example, PCS helped Dr. Ayla Stanford and the Black Doctors Consortium bring COVID tests and vaccines to our neighborhood. We helped community groups working to combat gun violence get more funding for their programs, and we're working with Black counselors and mental health professionals to bring more services to families. You may remember us from the summer of 2020, when we co-hosted a teletown hall with Senator Hughes. When the schools closed due to COVID-19, PCS met with over 4,300 families in 4 teletown halls, and we heard your needs and then set up a special community learning pod and parent resource center at Bible Way Baptist Church that gave over 50 students a safe place for virtual learning, tutoring, and behavioral health support, in addition to services for their parents. The Philadelphia Community Stakeholders has been working hard to not just talk about problems, but to do our part to solve them. And that brings us to why we're here tonight. As you know, Superintendent Height announced he's leaving at the end of this school year in June. His departure raises 2 important questions. 1, what type of person do we need as the next superintendent? And 2, just as important, if not more important, is what do we need in a public education system to prepare our children academically, socially, emotionally, mentally, and physically to be productive and successful in a 21st century society. The 2 questions go together because there's an old saying, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. We need to decide what we want from a public school system in order to decide what type of man or woman we need to lead it. And I'm speaking from experience because, as the senator mentioned, I served for 9 years on the school board and on the SRC, and I also served as CEO of Harambe Charter School for 3 years. I know how important it is to have a clear plan for what you want to do, to align your budget, no matter how big or small, with that plan, and then to have the right people in the right positions to implement the plan. So tonight, we want to hear your thoughts on the two things, what we need in our public schools and what we need in the next superintendent. But I think it's important for us all to remember that this job is bigger than any one person. There are over 200,000 students in district, charter, and alternative schools. 52% are Black and 86% are children of color. There are over 200 buildings that need to be repaired or replaced. We need to recruit and support culturally competent, committed educators to fill current positions and also to plan for the future. Right now, two-thirds of elementary and middle grade students are below grade level in reading. Math and reading proficiency is in the single digits in many of our neighborhood high schools. And I suspect that if we got down to the root of the deadly violence we see, we find many of our young adults graduating high school ill-prepared for jobs or college, and who are also dealing with untreated trauma, mental and behavioral health issues. So the challenges are big. The superintendent is the day-to-day leader responsible for putting together the team of experts in finance and academics and facilities, and then managing them to get results. But there are other important players we need to pay attention to: the state legislature and city council, who provide the funding; the mayor, who plays a big role for three reasons. One, our schools rely on the city for important services. For example, crossing guards are city employees. Schools depend on public police districts to coordinate safe corridors and traffic control. And the city pays for many, if not most, after-school and summer programs. Two, as the leader of the city, the mayor, whoever he or she is, should be using the bully pulpit to bring the universities and foundations and businesses to the table with their checkbooks and other resources to support our schools. And third, the mayor appoints the 9-member school board, and it's the board who has the ultimate responsibility for setting the plan and budget for the district, as well as hiring and evaluating the superintendent. We're going to be sharing what we hear from you with all of them. This is bigger than just hiring the next superintendent. We all have to do a better job of ensuring our children get the quality of education they need to be the future leaders in Philadelphia and beyond. And with that, Senator, I turn it back to you. And thank you again.
Thank you, Sandra. Very comprehensive laying of the foundation of the issues that we need to consider. We're looking at the chat. We see a number of folks have already begun to make comments, and we're going to call on them to speak in a moment or two. Emily, is there any procedural issues that you want to make sure that we address before we start taking some of the callers?
Yes, we actually have a poll question tonight, so everyone on the call can participate. The first poll question is, are you happy with our public education system in Philadelphia? If you want to answer yes, you hit 1. For no, you would hit 2. And again, that question is, are you happy with our public education system in Philadelphia? Press 1 for yes and no for 2. I'm sorry, okay. 2 for no.
You sure, Emily?
I am.
Very good. We'll have a couple other poll questions that we'll put up, and you'll be have the chance to respond. But also, again, if you'd like to leave a comment or make a comment, please press *3 now. Press *3 now. Emily, why don't we take on a couple of the callers right now and hear what's on their mind, so the broader group can hear it, and then Sandra and the PCS group can hear it as well. Emily?
Sounds great. We're going to go to Sister Miley in Overbrook Park. And Sister in Overbrook Park, you are live now.
Hey, sis. How are you?
Hi. Good evening. So I have a background in education. I would like to know, if the person whom you're looking to have to be the next superintendent of school, if they are committed to helping to combat summer learning loss with things such as Philadelphia Freedom Schools in the summer, which is a six-week program which helps students to basically not lose what they've already received, or to also help them to gain more academic knowledge in areas such as in the English, it could be in science, it can be in math, but they also do things where they can have fun in the arts and do things within our city to learn about our historical features. And so that also entails them possibly having college students who are their interns who might be education majors in our local area. And then it also provides summer jobs for high school students. And I found that within the last 10 years that I've done this work with Philadelphia Freedom Schools and the Junior Servant Leader Project, that it's actually helped us to produce more educators when they've had that experience in the summer program. So because we know that our students have lost time, physical time in classrooms, I want to know, are we committed to finding this particular person to replace superintendent in schools if they are committed to combating summer learning loss with giving programs in the city and helping to provide not only sponsorship and financial support for it, but do we understand the importance more so than ever for 2022, 2023 for us to do this for our children?
Great. So that is a great comment, and it's an excellent observation. Before I turn it over to Sandra for a quick response, I think that is fundamental to the success of our children, what they do during the summer, making sure that they do not lose what it is that they gain when they leave at the end of June. You may be aware that we initiated it 10 years ago and have been running the Read to Succeed program, which has had dramatic success with the young folks who have been a part of our program, and many of them getting 2 or 3 months ahead because of some real serious work that they do during the course of the summer. So I think you're absolutely on point. I think it is fundamental for the success of our children. And just a little plug, if you want to help us out with Read to Succeed, give my office a call, 215-879-7777, 215-879-7777. Sandra, I'm going to turn it over to you, but you know, Sandra, I'm never going to miss an opportunity to push Read to Succeed. So Sandra, you have any thoughts and comments?
Well, Senator, you know I'm a big fan and supporter of Read to Succeed, and I've been a big fan and supporter of Freedom Schools for the last 20-plus years. Yeah. I want to applaud the caller, but also Sharif Almeki, who has been leading a summer Freedom School program here in Philadelphia, and who now is leading nationally an effort to recruit more Black teachers, and initiated a big campaign to raise and support Black male teachers here, not just in Philly, but across the country. So it's that kind of leadership, I think, and I would take the caller's question and turn it into a comment, not asking the next superintendent whether he or she will support it, but just telling this is what we're expecting. That's why we're doing this. We really want to hear and put on the table the kinds of things that we need to be expecting from the next school district leader, and then being able to hold him or her accountable to it. And I think the Freedom School is a great example of a program that should be supported and really grown across the district.
Absolutely. Very good. Thank you, Sandra. Emily, why don't we go to start with some of our callers who've been hanging on the longest. I'm looking at the list. I think I see Charlene from West Philly. Why don't we start there, okay?
Absolutely. Before we go to Charlene, we do have another poll question. I'm just going to read that out real quick.
Okay.
Our next poll question is, do you have confidence in our current school board to lead our public school system? Again, you press 1 for yes and 2 for no. Do you have confidence in our current school board to lead our public school system? That's 1 for yes and 2 for no. All right. And we are going to go to Charlene in West Philly.
Hi, Senator Hughes.
Hey, Charlene, how you doing?
Everybody in the room, I'm a retired school teacher, and I taught 30 years.
There you go.
Okay. my problem might be negative, but I'm not trying to make it negative. We lost our children, okay? We losing our children in public school because we don't have the right leadership. And I'm saying that because I did what I went to work to be children. I went, when I graduated from college, I was about children. And I did it for 30 years. I was about children. I went into their lifestyle. I went into what they do. I bought them clothes when they ain't had clothes. I bought them stuff so I can get their confidence, so they can get their education and background. You got to know what they dealing with as they come to school. So I don't know how you do it. I don't know how a superintendent could do that. But when you in the classroom and you see them, you got to feel them.
Right.
I was isolated.
Charlene, still there?
I think we lost Charlene, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. Well, Charlene, we're sorry that we lost you. You can give us a call back. But I think we all got the point that you were making, and you were a teacher for over 30 years, this whole idea of understanding the fact that our kids are coming to school, our children are coming to school with a whole lot of stuff before they get there. And we have to have the support services in place to recognize that, the sensitivity by the personnel in the school building to recognize that and provide the appropriate support to make sure that we're teaching or addressing the issues of the whole child, not just what we need them to learn for lack of a better term, in the school books for that particular day or that particular week. So that's a very, very good point. And I would just say that the superintendent, the leader of the school, has got to rally the resources to provide that whole experience, to provide that broad experience. So thank you, Charlene. Thank you very much for your comment. Call us back. We got a bunch of folks on the line, but give us a call back. We'll try to get you in. Emily, I see Angela. All right, I think that's Angela would be the next.
I think we may be looking at different screens, Senator. If someone does have a question, though, they can press star 3, just like Charlene did, and she can also press star 3 again for her question.
Okay.
I'm going to take us to Crystal in Winfield, if that's okay.
Okay, sounds good.
Crystal, Hi. You are live.
Hi, Senator here. Thank you so much for having us.
Hey, Crystal.
My name is Crystal. I'm out of Winfield. And what I would just be expecting from the new superintendent is to consider putting programs in place that can help address the children's mental health as well as the teacher's mental health. I'm only 32 years old, and I remember escaping my reality by going to school and being able to lean on teachers who was able to support me and push me to go to college. It wasn't my mom that told me to go to college. It was a homework assignment that I had to just complete, and I forged my mom's signatures. That's why I went to college.
What?
So really, you know, that's just the reality. You know, I'm the first one of my family to go to college, first one to buy a house, first one to start a business. But really just instilling a confidence in these teachers to really care for the students, or they shouldn't be doing the job. So although we're looking for a superintendent, just really just doing some type of analysis on a lot of these teachers and just instilling that, you know, their love and their passion, and even helping them address mental health. You know, they're part of our community too. They're being hit with a lot of the gun violence as well.
Yeah.
So just figuring out bringing people like Eric Thomas, like people that can really encourage these teachers to pour into these children, because it starts with them. If they're coming to school, you know, tired, don't want to be there, the students are tired and don't want to be there, we're not going to get nothing out of it. But I remember, and I graduated from MOTEP before it is what it is now, but, you know, I just remember just the culture. I remember those teachers are still my mothers. You know, they're still my mentors. And poured into us. Like, I know they went down, you know, I don't really know the logistics of it, but I'm talking about taking our college essays and stringing them, you know, and it all became, it was because of the passion, you know. We wasn't all good kids, no. We became good because we were escaping our reality, and while we were in school, we had incentive programs like YSET. If I, you know, YSET, I got to come early. Then we also had a peer mediation. I was one of the peer mediators. Like, just instilling, you know, but it starts with the teachers. You know, I know there's a lot of callers online, but when I was in school, I remember it was those teachers that are responsible, and I wish I could thank them to how I ended up today. It wasn't my family members. It was me escaping my reality and going to school and being able to, like, talk to teachers that can see past me. Like,
there you go. There you go. I think we are really understanding which, in many respects, what you said, and I'm gonna turn it over to Sandra in a second. It represents this village concept, right? You know, of folks all around us, and schools, in many respects, being the center portion of the village, really taking on the responsibility to breathing life and hope and knowledge into our children so that they can realize their future, realize their dreams. And I think, again, the leader has to kind of, you know, inspire that whole concept and bring those resources to the table, because clearly the Philadelphia School District is severely under-resourced, but we got to figure out a way to get them wherever we can. Sandra, do you have anything you want to add to Crystal's comments?
No, I think Crystal made a couple of really important points. About one, about culture and setting a culture that is not just respectful of children, but caring and supporting of a whole child. And that is something that is really important, that you're selecting the right kinds of people to be in your district, whether at the school level or even at administrative level. So the idea of culture and, owning that culture and culturally sensitive, and as they call it now, culturally competent people. But that has to be a critical part. But then she said something else that was so important. When we talk about mental health and supporting mental and behavioral health, we usually talk about students, but it's just as important to have it for the teachers and other staff members in the school, because they too are dealing with trauma in the neighborhoods, in their community, sometimes in their homes. And so having social workers, having psychologists, having mental and behavioral health specialists in the schools is critical for staff and for students. So I think those are some really good points that Crystal raised.
Excellent points. Responding to the reality of what's going on with our children and their families and their communities, schools, if they're going to be centerpieces for our communities, have got to reflect the environment that responds to their reality. Have got to respect that. And with the expectation that everyone can succeed. If you have the expectation that every child can succeed, you got to set the dynamic up for them to succeed. And one child may succeed differently or respond differently from different styles than another child. But we got to set up the environment for that. Emily, I'm betting Emily's got another. Sandra, I'm betting Emily's got another poll question for us. Emily, you have another poll question for us?
I absolutely do, Senator. Thank you. Our next question is, should Philadelphia have an elected school board? Again, press 1 for yes and 2 for no. Should Philadelphia have an elected school board? 1 for yes and 2 for no. And, Senator, we do have Angela Childs on the line right now.
Okay, let's go. Hey, Angela.
Hi. How y'all doing today?
We're doing great. What you got for us?
I have a grandson. He's 10 years old. The school system really changed over the years. I have a 32-year-old daughter, and I'm 56. And I was growing up, it's a whole different ball game. And my daughter said the same thing. Like, it's really, the teachers don't really want to teach the kids because they think they're really bad. All kids is not bad. And just the whole system is just screwed up now. And we really need to have an election. to vote these new superintendents in.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have too much to say about it because I'm not raising my grandson. My daughter's raised him. We both raised him and his dad.
Right.
And he goes to a charter school in the North Philly. That's originally from North Philly. I just moved up here a couple years ago.
Okay.
And the system is, you know, and like my grandson, you know, my grandson, he goes to school, like they bullies and all this extra stuff. Like, I don't know where all this comes from, you know what I'm saying? Comes from the household, you know what I'm saying? These kids, these parents ain't got time for these kids, their own kids, and they mingle with their kids.
Well, children are, as a parent and as a grandparent, children come to schools based on certain realities that exist in homes and exist in their communities. What we've got to do, I think, is create a structure that responds to those realities and the support mechanisms that respond to those realities in the school and outside the school. So thank you very much, Angela. Emily, who's got the next question?
We are going to go to Keith in Strawberry Mansion.
All right, Keith.
Yeah, how you doing?
All yours, Keith. All yours, man.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, how you doing? Good evening, Senator.
All good, brother. How you?
Okay. I'm the ward leader, 28th Ward. Major concerns down here. We have Strawberry Mansion. We have Blaine. You know, a superintendent. You know, what the schools mostly need is they need truancy counselors, and also they need what do you call those? I've been out of school so long. They need people in school to monitor the school, the hallways, like really tough. Like when we were going to school, right? They were NTA, right?
Uh-huh.
What we need in a superintendent is autonomy, because the state provides funding for the schools. The mayor can do something. The mayor selects them. You know, he appoints them, the school superintendent, but the state gives funding to the schools. So, and I mean, the whole logistics has to be revamped like it was in the 60s and the 70s with the vocational thing. Sandra spoke on this a few years ago, like about bringing the vocations back in the schools. I mean, because our children are really graduating just, and a lot of them don't want to go to college. A lot of them, right, then they have to pay tuition to go to New Orleans Tech or whatever, you know, get like college, instead of getting some vocations in school to give them that first early years of high school in the vocations that they're interested in. And I think that would solve a lot of the crime that's going on, because our children are graduating and it's just a drug culture to make money. Of course, they can get a job somewhere, but you can create a passion in a child in school.
Keith, tell Sandra and myself and everybody else who's listening, what do you think that the superintendent's role is in creating these new dynamics that you're talking about, man?
I think the superintendent's role is to really give the teachers some like more incentives to inspire their children. Like have like maybe evening pep talks with teachers. Like you can break it up into segments. Like, you know what I mean, this sector of the city, and then have a talk with the teachers. Personal talks, Zoom talks, personal and auditorium talks, and the teachers come. Like, because, you know, when teachers graduate, they're just going to school to work. But teaching is not just a 9-to-5. My wife's a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching is
especially these days, teaching is a rough profession. It is not easy, but most folks that I know go into teaching because they have a passion and they want to make a difference. And as I always say, breathe life and hope and opportunity into the young people that they're in. We got to make sure that they get the supports to go ahead and do that. I think we need to make sure they get the supports to go ahead and do it. And it's especially difficult here in the city of Philadelphia, where we have this funding crisis that we're in. But you know, we keep working to try to make a difference in that space as well. Before we take the next question, Emily, I know Emily's got another poll question. So before we take the next question or the next comment from our callers, Emily, you have another poll question for us?
I absolutely do. Our next question is, do you believe mental health and behavioral health sciences should be in every school? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no. Do you believe mental and behavioral health services should be in every school? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no. And I would like to remind everyone else on the call, if you have a question or a comment about the affiliates of public schools or the superintendent search, please press star 3 on your phone for a question.
Great.
All right,
thank
Carter.
You,
absolutely.
Who's next?
We are going to go to Kathy in West Philly.
Okay. Hey, Kathy.
Hi, how are you guys? How's everyone doing?
All is well. Thanks for joining us tonight. What you got for us, Kathy?
Well, what I have as a drug and alcohol therapist in the city of Philadelphia, a lot of my participants, I find that their trauma started as children with parents who have had substance abuse issues. Now, some of the students who do come to school come from a lot of troubled home environment and home situations. So what I was wondering is, how can a child be supported coming from that type of a background, you know, from a traumatic situation and have to come to school? You know, I'm thinking maybe something could be done to support the whole entire family, like a whole type of approach.
Yep. That sounds great. Saj, do you have a response for Kathy? I think she's on to something there.
Yes. Hi, Kathy. You know, something I learned when I was at Harambe, we had a number of families, because, you know, stress is the kind of stress that our families are under now is something that we did not see when we were in school. And I know that was a few years ago. But things have changed in our neighborhoods and our communities with people's jobs, people working 2 and 3 jobs, and so on. So what we found is that we had to bring in a special team of counselors to work with the children in school, but also to meet with the parents and connect the parents with services outside of school. So there would be weekly meetings in schools, one-on-one sometimes with children in small groups, children who were struggling with different kinds of issues, behavior issues and so forth. A lot of it had to do with meeting somebody to talk with, understanding how they could have other coping skills, but that took time, and it was something that was beyond what a teacher could do. So the idea of having these other services available for both the children and their parents is not now a nicety in schools, but I think it is essential to have in all of our schools. So that was something that we found was important and really needed, and that helped the family, the children, and it also helped teachers who could then focus on teaching in the classroom.
Sandra, great comment. Thank you, Sandra. Emily, can we go to Chanel Scott from West Philly? Chanel, Emily, I need to hear from Chanel Scott. Can you do that?
Gotcha. She is live now.
Hi, good evening. This is Chanel.
Hey, Chanel. How are you?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
Okay. What you got for us tonight?
So I'm a child advocate social worker, and I've been, you know, listening to what everyone is saying. And my question is the school district willing to invest in more of a holistic approach in the school district, or maybe willing to revamp the curriculum to include, like, more counseling for students and more, like, alternative programming, like yoga, maybe like other things that can happen during the day that's not just learning, and also providing that space, you know, like the callers were saying, for parents and for, you know, the youth to process trauma that's happening in their community and at home.
So, Chanel, that shouldn't be a question. I'm going to just do it like this. That shouldn't be a question. That should be, I think, a demand. I think that should be a requirement, because I think what I'm hearing from you, given your experience, is that everything that you're seeing says we need to have that kind of situation going on in our schools. Would I be correct on that?
She is no longer on the line with us.
Chanel hung up. Okay. Well, we get the drift. Sandra, we get Chanel's point, don't we?
Absolutely. Again, it should be essential, and that's why PCS is doing this, Senator, as you know. We want to take what we're finding and hearing and put these out as our recommendations, expectations, and demands of the district, of the school board, and honestly of the other city leaders, because the school district doesn't exist in a vacuum, and we need to understand that it is connected to the city, the city council, and to, as you know, the state, Senator. So we need to have everybody kind of on the same page bringing up these issues with our school district, not around just around the superintendent, but what happens after whoever is hired gets on board.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Emily, before we go to Cecilia Thompson, because I want to hear from Cecilia. She's a regular on every format that we utilize. Do you have another poll question for us?
I do, and then I also have an online question whenever you're ready,
okay.
Senator.
Very good.
Our next poll question is, do you feel your child is safe at school? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no. Again, that is, do you feel your child is safe at school? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no. And again, if you have any questions for the senator or his guest, please press star 3 to ask your question live on the air with us. And now we are going to go to Cecilia.
Hey, Cecilia.
Hello.
Hey, Cecilia, how are you?
Thanks, Senator Hughes. Thanks for the opportunity. Tonight I'm here in a different capacity. I'm just here as a listening person in my role on the school board. I've been recently appointed in February. And I came on a little late, so I don't know who all is on here, but I just want to thank you and everybody, any elected official or anybody who's on this call. I'm taking notes, and I'm writing it down to bring back to our board. And I just believe that this is a wonderful opportunity because what we've been saying, this is not the board superintendent. This is the people superintendent, and everybody's input thus far is very valuable. And like I said, I just wanted to thank you, and I didn't get the names because I came on late.
Okay.
But I just want to, you know, make sure, you know, encourage everybody to keep giving us feedback, even though we had to kind of cut it short a little bit because, you know, the thing got to move on. We want to get this person in place Miss Spring, just keep them coming. Just because we had to shut it down doesn't mean that we're not listening. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Senator Hughes and everybody on the call is much appreciated.
Thank you, Cecilia. Well, don't hang up. Keep listening to the call. What we're doing is the partnership with the Philadelphia community stakeholders, and we have some veteran educators, some very experienced, proactive educators who are part of the Education Committee of Philadelphia Community Stakeholders. Sandra Dungy-Glenn, longtime educator and advocate, Ann Cooley, Cassandra Jones, names who are strong in the education space that we're partnering with to have these community conversations. And they've been happening all over the city of Philadelphia, making sure that the community has its say, has its viewpoint in the public conversation about what should be the attributes of the new superintendent of schools. And what we're hearing is, in many respects, hearing a lot about mental health, a lot about behavioral health, and the realities that our children and their families, the trauma that our children and their families are hearing and dealing with before the children even ever get to school, and how we've got to restructure things in a way to respond to that reality. You know, how the issues that our children are dealing with are different than the issues that the children are dealing with in Cambria County or Bradford County or Luzerne or places like that. Although there are similarities, there are a lot of differences. And what I think we have to do, and what we're hearing tonight, is we got to do a restructure to make sure to respond to the realities that our children are dealing with, and especially the communities that they're coming from, the trauma and the issues that are, that the, our children and their communities are dealing with. So, Cecilia, thank you very much. Emily, before I know you try to sneak in these polls on me. Is there another poll question that we have before we go to the next caller?
Nope, we have done all of our polls.
Okay, very good, very good. So, Sandra, we got a good 15 minutes left. We can get to as many different callers as possible. Emily, I'm going to let you pick the next one. Who's next?
So I'm actually going to read off an online question. We have a question about how equitable school funding across the state could impact the School District of Philadelphia.
Well, I can tell you this. We happen to know that one very well, and I'll just use an example. It's an issue of not just equity. It's an issue of equity and adequacy, all right? Enough dollars to educate the children to meet the standards that the state has set. The state has set some very significant standards, and we're not funding our schools to meet those standards. In fact, a costing out study was done a number of years ago that indicates that we are, as a state, about $4.5 billion behind what should be funded for public education. And if distributed equitably and adequately, we would have a dramatic new increase in funding, let's talk about Philadelphia specifically, of hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions, to go into the Philadelphia School District to deal with the issue of equity, but equally as important, the issue of adequacy. I'll give you an example. I represent a school district that I have portions of the suburbs and, of course, the city. In one of my suburban school districts, I use Upper Dublin as an example, they're educating their children with about $10,000 more per child than we have here in Philadelphia. $10,000 more per child. So if you take a classroom of 30 kids, times that by 10,000, that's $300,000 more in a classroom in my suburban school district than we have here in the Philadelphia school district. Imagine, Sandra, imagine what you could do. And you've run schools, and you've run districts. Imagine what you can do in a school building if there was an extra $1 million or an extra $3 or $4 or $5 million in that school building, in one school building, what you could do for the children and the communities that they come from. Speak to that, if you will, Sandra.
Senator, I mean, you already teed it up so well. All this evening, we've been talking about what our children need. We've been talking about the fact that we need to have more counselors and mental health support. Well, with additional dollars, you can bring in those professionals. You can hire them to be in the schools. And you're not just talking about having one person trying to deal with 500 children or 700 children. You could have a team of professionals who are working together. We would not be talking about one nurse trying to service 4 and 5 different schools and being at a school just one day a week. Each school could have at least one full-time nurse and probably more like 2 or 3. I remember reading about these budgets, Senator, and we were comparing a Philadelphia school to a suburban school. And we were talking about in the Philadelphia school, there was one counselor for a whole school of about 1,300 children. In the suburban school, they had like 3 counselors and a psychologist and a psychiatrist. And they had 2 nurses, and each nurse had their own nurse's aide. I mean, so that's what additional money pays for. They replace their textbooks every year to keep them updated. And in our schools, we struggle to do that over the course of 4 or 5 years, let alone now technology, where we need to have tablets and computers, and we need to have adequate Wi-Fi, which means you need to upgrade the electricity in the building. So all of those things have to be paid for. Professional development, so that teachers understand what trauma-informed instruction, and they can have people coming into the classroom to help them understand how you do a lesson. And it's not just like something they go to once a month, but they have hands-on support. Because teachers are actually students too. They have to be constantly learning. All of those things are what you can do when you have additional money. And of course, we can go on and on and on. But money matters. What you spend it on matters, but you have to have the dollars there to invest in the right things. So don't let anybody tell you that money doesn't matter.
Got to pay attention to the, Sandra's absolutely right. Everybody's got to pay attention to the lawsuit, the case, the court case is happening in Harrisburg right now in Commonwealth Court around the issue of education funding and the inadequacy and the unfairness, the inequitable funding that's happening in the school districts all across Pennsylvania, and of course the low-income school districts and the low-wealth school districts are impacted the most. Again, surrounding Philadelphia, and I can only speak to the 7th Senatorial District. Well, I can speak to a lot of them, but I can speak most specifically to the 7th Senatorial District. We've got the Colonial District and the Upper Dublin School District. And in both of those districts, they're spending about $10,000 more per child than is being spent in Philadelphia, and that is principally a funding issue from Harrisburg. The state creates the standards that they want every child to get an education to address, but the state does not fund adequately for every child to get to meet those standards. Again, $10,000 more per child in the suburban school districts than in the Philadelphia school district. Understand what that math really equates to. In the Upper Dublin school district, go to the high school, and they've got three theaters, a TV studio, a recording studio, a swimming pool that is Olympic size where swimmers come from all over the state of Pennsylvania to compete. The technology is par excellence. We cannot escape the funding issues. We just can't. And I'm sorry to rant and go on about that, but those are fundamental, and we can't lose sight of that. Emily, who's next on the line that you wanted to hear from?
We are going to go to Rachel Davis in Central Roxborough.
Okay. Hey, Rachel.
Rachel, you are live on the
call. Go right ahead, Rachel.
Okay, great. So my question or comment really was that it's been proven that green space and foliage and plants are really calming for learning spaces. And I was curious if there was any organization that could bring in plants into classrooms for children to look at as they're learning. You know, it also helps clean the air, keeps oxygen in the room, and it's also just a really beautiful thing to look at. And I think it would help students. It helps me in my home to learn and to continue to work. So just curious about that. And also thank you for having this call. This is really informative.
Thank you, Rachel. Now, before you hang up, is that in the selection process of a new superintendent, are you looking for that kind of person to create an environment that allows for those kinds of environments to exist in our classrooms and our school buildings? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, I think it's important for the person to value the way in which we are now learning as a society, that it's important for mental health to be in a serene place as you are learning. And people get distracted often with very vibrant things or things that are a little bit too man-made. But if you're in the presence of nature, you're more likely to have a more calmed mind. So someone who appreciates that nature can play a role in learning, or someone that can bring even more green space around the school. I know a lot of schools, I worked for the Trust for Public Land for a few years ago, and we brought green space to playgrounds, and it was really helpful for the students to be involved and have a close connection with nature, and it gave them a moment to be a calm learner. So someone who appreciates the connection between mental health, learning, and nature, I think would be a great candidate.
Great. Thank you, Rachel. Appreciate that perspective. Thanks for joining the call tonight. Emily, who's next?
We are going to go to Pamela Blandin-Goldbelt in West Philly.
What's up, Pam?
Hey, family. How are you?
All right. Good to,
hey, good, Pam.
Good to hear your voice, Pam.
Yours as well. I'm not sure the initial setup of the call, but just I'm in the school district still, and mm-hmm. I'm currently now in elementary as opposed to being in high school. And one of the first things I'd like to say is I think when they're looking in the selection process this year for a superintendent, we somehow keep going past the fact that Philly has grown its own and that I think there's someone inside of Philly that has been educated in Philly that could do the job and they have a stake in it. So I'm hoping that they will put their hat in the ring because I remember when Cassandra Jones was acting and I wasn't understanding why we had her acting and not in the capacity of being someone that was homegrown out of Philadelphia as opposed to someone who doesn't have necessarily a dime in the dollar. And we could get back to wanting to educate people to live and not educate them to take a test, which somehow makes it seem like we're doing well when the test is the test, but then they have to go out here and live where we might not be giving them some of the basic tools that's needed to just survive and live. Everybody's not going to go to college, and if by chance somebody does not even graduate high school, if we are teaching them to learn and some of the basics, they will at least be able to survive until they make their way back to being, you know, completing their education. But sometimes when they don't make it, they make it with so little. And if we could also maybe revisit how we deal with special needs and having them mainstreamed in the classroom. From what I can see and sitting in classes where you have students that are gifted and IEPs, or they have the GIEPs versus somebody who has just the IEP, they are oftentimes left behind because you can't teach that vast range. Is one teacher, most of the times no assistant, 33 children in the room, and you might have five children that have a 50-page IEP. It's not realistic. We're asking teachers sometimes to do some unrealistic things for them as a human being, them too being a parent, you know, also. So I just think that when we're looking at this, we got to try to stop pointing the finger. Oftentimes they're pointing the finger at the teachers, looking at the school, looking at the superintendent, and point the finger at the children at being where we need to focus our attention on trying to grow them the best that we can and not put anybody at jeopardy. Sometimes teachers are in jeopardy because they have students in their classrooms that special need. They're not a special needs teacher.
Right.
That's not what they went to school for. So when you do that, you're putting that teacher – you're making that teacher raw and, like, not prepared for the job that they prepared for because y'all have changed the stakes of the game. But they have not been able to go back and re-educate and do the fine-tuning that it takes to address the needs of a special needs child and not lose the other children in the classroom. So we're not leaving one student behind. We're leaving a multitude of them behind because our system is really, in some ways, doing what it's designed to do in the inner city, and that is to not educate our children so that they can compete in the world, but to keep us at a deficit. So it's good to hear y'all voices, and I'm glad for the conversation that you all are doing and the work that you continue to do.
Thanks, Pam. Appreciate you very much. Sandra, I'm looking at the clock, and it's about 7:58. I think we may have to wind this one down. We've gotten a lot of comments from a lot of folks, had a tremendous number of folks on the call, listening, paying attention. Any closing remarks you'd like to offer?
I just want to thank everybody. It was great to hear Pam's voice, and she made some great comments, and I would put my vote with Dr. Cassandra Jones anytime. I don't know if she's interested, but she is an excellent educator. But all the comments tonight, I think, were very much on point. It's exactly what we wanted to get out of this kind of session, because we heard people from across the board, people in the district, parents, grandparents, community, interested community members. And that's exactly what we want to share with the school board and with others who are going to be a part of making this decision of what we need in the next superintendent. But again, as importantly, what we need this district to be redesigned to do. Because what we need now in 2021 is different than what we needed in 1980 or 1990 even, or even 20 years ago in 2000. So we have to keep changing and growing on behalf of our children. Thank you, Senator, for leading this, for the time you put in. We really appreciate your support, and we will be sharing our findings with you at the earliest opportunity. So thank you, and everyone have a happy holiday.
Absolutely. Thank you very, very much, Sandra, and all the folks at Philadelphia Community Stakeholders for driving this issue and working with me, and I know a number of our colleagues that you've had similar telephone town halls on this particular conversation. You know, I talk to all kinds of folks, folks from the neighborhood, folks in the community, parents, young people, grandparents, business people, to every one of them. Everyone is consistent with at least one thing about how to move the city forward. We must have a strong and well-functioning education system, no matter what kind of school you're in, traditional public, charter, private, archdiocese school, whatever. They all must be strong. They all must be functioning at high levels for this city to move forward. Everybody says the same thing, and everybody says that they have to be redesigned to meet the reality that our children are living in. And so the leadership of the school district, which is focused on the superintendent, but really is all of us, the mayor, the school board, the teachers, the community, everybody's got to take ownership of it. It starts with a selection, but we cannot escape the funding issue, and I need everyone to make sure that they're paying close attention to the funding issue. It is a fundamental. I said that three times. Must mean it's important. And I'll say it one more time. Fundamental core aspect of our schools and our children moving forward. You can't do it without funding. No other community that has money in their education system is saying they're willing to lose money in their education system. All of them and all of us must fight for the adequate funding necessary for every one of our children to receive a 21st century education. So I went on a little bit too long. Thanks for everyone for participating in our telephone town hall conversation. To those who listened in and to those who asked questions and gave us suggestions. Thank you to my special guests from the Philadelphia Community Stakeholders. Always good to hear all of their voices. If you didn't have a chance to ask a question, remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. Thank you again for your participation. If you have any additional questions or concerns, call my office at 215-879-7777 or visit my website at senatorhughes.com. And remember, this has been a heck of an 18 months that we've been through, folks. We got a lot, all of us have a lot to be thankful for. We got a lot to fight for, but we certainly have a lot to be thankful for, especially by just making it to this conversation this evening. Let's give our thanks, and after we do that, let's double down for the work that's got to get done to make our community better. Emily?
Senator Hughes, thank you very much. Again, everyone on the line, if you did not get a chance to ask your question, please remain on the line, and you can leave a voicemail for Senator Hughes. And if you would like to contact his office about any other issues, again, the phone number is 215-879-7777, and his website is senatorhughes.com. Thank you all for participating, and have a great night and holiday week.
Thank you very much, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you.